ஓம் அஜானத்திமிரந்தஸ்ய ஜனாஞ்சன ஷலாக்கய சக்ஷூர் உன்மிலிதம் ஏன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குருவே நமஹம். நமோம் விஷ்ணுபதாய கிருஷ்ண பிரேஷ்ணாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி வேதாந்த சுவாமி நித்ய நாமினே நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணி நிர்விசேஷ சூன்யவாதி பஷ்யத்யாதேசதாரிணி. ஜெய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர சிவாசாதி கௌர பக்தவிருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. சோ த டாபிக் ஆஃப் திஸ் செஷன் இஸ் ஹோலிஸ்டிக் எஸ் டு கிருஷ்ணா. இஸ் எவ்ரி ஒன் அவேர் ஆஃப் த வேர்ட் ஹோலிஸ்டிக்? எஸ் No? Okay. So holistic basically means wholesome. It can also mean soul, body, mind, intelligence, all going together in harmony, right? So I want to start off with just a brief definition of what is holistic yes to Krishna, what are some of the key components, and then talk a little bit about what is not holistic, what is the impact of either holistic or not holistic yes, and then let's look at some examples, both ancient and contemporary. But I also want to make this a little bit more interactive. That's something I like to do, so it's not so boring for you for the next 45 minutes or so. And I think that way we also learn more. So holistic yes. So there are three major components to holistic yes to Krishna. So first one is your yes to Krishna is your own. So that's one key component of holistic Krishna. So what does that mean? So it's not, you're not saying yes to Krishna or yes to Krishna's representatives in your life because someone else wants you to say that yes, right? Or some inner voice is pushing you to say yes, or someone really pressuring you to say yes, right? So very important component of holistic yes to Krishna is it's your own. So think about it. You know, let's take the example of, you know, marriage ceremony, right? Especially the way they do it in the West. Imagine you are in that moment, very important moment in your life. You have to say, yes, I do, right? I want to enter into this marriage, or I want to enter into this commitment. Imagine if it's not coming from the right place. That's a pretty risky yes, isn't it? Right? If you're not fully there, and if it's not coming from you, it could be a big mistake. Now, this example is a little unique. Even if it comes from the right place, it's a mistake. I can speak from personal experience. Is my wife here? No, I was just joking. I thought she went out. When did you come back? but you get the point, right? So, no, not about my marriage. The difference between saying yes from the right place and yes from the wrong place. Now, just building on what Maharaj was emphasizing in the morning about head versus heart. So holistic yes, another way to look at it is it's coming from the heart versus the head. Yeah. Right? She said yeah. And she likes it. And it's a yes that's coming from our desire to grow in spiritual life. So it's not something that's coming necessarily influenced by the other modes of nature, or especially passion and ignorance. I'm saying yes to Krishna because I'll get some material benefit out of this or something like that. Versus it's coming from this desire, I want to grow in Krishna consciousness, I want to learn. That's why I want to say yes to this particular service opportunity or relationship building opportunity or whatever it may be. Yeah? And it's interesting because our lives tend to be so fast-paced, we don't necessarily pause to think about that when we are confronted with service or other devotional opportunities, isn't it? It's very hard to slow down and say, okay, is this coming from the right place? The second aspect of holistic yes is it's primarily a spiritual yes, right? Coming from the heart, coming from the seat of our natural consciousness. But ideally, it should also be supported by the other dimensions of our being. So our body, mind, intelligence. Right? Because sometimes, impulsively, we may feel that, okay, I'm feeling very inspired here, and we may run with yes to Krishna. But then your body is not coming along with you, or your psychology is not ready, or even your intelligence is not well nourished to support that yes to Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's like getting into a car, so you want to drive somewhere. So you, the soul is like the driver, but if the car is not ready, you know, if it doesn't have the hardware or the software, you don't go anywhere pretty much. So it's important to have a functioning psychophysical nature that can support a strong yes from the soul platform, right? That's very important. How many of you know Krishna Leela Mataji? Okay, several of you. Some of you probably don't. Amazing person, amazing devotee. She used to come here probably 8-9 years ago. She used to give workshops. But she's a psychotherapist by profession. She's just so deep and profound. And one thing she told me was, Advaita Chandra, spiritual energy is abundant in all of our lives. You know, we see it coming in so many different ways. But you need a psychological vessel to hold that mercy that's overpowering, that's showering on you. If you don't have a psychological vessel to hold what's coming your way, what happens? Chaos. Or at least you'll be like unsettled. Right? You wouldn't know how to deal with it. And that happens a lot more than we think, and maybe we all don't pay as much attention to that as we should. And sometimes we go after the wrong things to try to fix, say, a discomfort or pain that we may feel from a spiritual activity or interaction. But it could be potentially related to the fact that, okay, I just didn't have the vessel to hold all that was coming. Maybe if I could expand that capacity a little bit, I'll be in a better position, right? Now, why is the vessel not ready to hold? What are some things that could cause that? So think about a vessel. What if it has holes and you're trying to fill water? You won't go too far. You know, fill somewhat and then it will drip down and then you're wondering, why am I not progressing? Because there's no dearth of spiritual mercy, you know, especially you know, those of you who have been part of the programs that Maharaj facilitates, you know, it's like abundance of spiritual mercy. Day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out, right? Lot of opportunities. But if we don't have the vessel that's not bleeding, it can be pretty challenging. The third component of holistic yes is your yes to Krishna or Krishna's representatives takes into account or takes into consideration the needs and spiritual trajectory of your dependents. Especially those of us who are, you know, in Grihastha Ashram, right? We have that extra responsibility. You know, you can't just, act like a brahmachari or brahmacharini, right? We have to take into account, okay, what is my spouse, what is her or his take on this service opportunity or this devotional activity? How is this going to impact my son or daughter? And in some cases, even the broader family, if you have parents staying with you and so on and so forth. Because every activity that we take on, every opportunity that we say yes to, has implications. Right? So taking that into consideration is quite important. Why is that? Because if your dependents, they're not ready, they don't come along. And in their own lives, if they don't fulfill the first two components of holistic yes to Krishna, right? Yes, coming from your own, and then yes, that is supported by the other dimensions of your being. If they don't have that, it's a big ask, right? And in at least cases that I've observed over the years, I've seen it can cause a lot of discomfort, pain, prolonged suffering. Right? So just let's take an example where someone, one day you decide, oh my God, I'm going to relocate because it's in that other location, there are devotees, congregation, you know, that's where I can survive. That's the only place I can grow in Krishna consciousness. I'm going to move tomorrow. And your spouse and kids are like, what's the matter with you? Right? What are you talking about? I have my social circle, I have school. But how many of you would agree that we do this all the time? At least some of you. Right? It's pretty risky proposition to, and now relocation is one aspect, but you could apply that to various aspects of devotional life and face the same situation. Sometimes devotees are inspired, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted Krishna consciousness to be spread to every town and village, right? My holy names will be heard. The husband is very excited or the wife is very excited. Let's go. And sooner or later you find the husband is in one town, the wife is in next town, is in another town. And the family life has just come apart. So that's not holistic yes to Krishna because it's counterproductive to what you want to actually achieve for you and your family. Does that make sense? So far so good. So when your yes to Krishna is not holistic, so just to summarize, it can lead to pain, suffering, and eventually even motivate you to give up Krishna consciousness. One thing that I've observed over, so I've been coming to Gitanagari retreat since I came in contact with Maharaj, probably from 2001 or 2. And it's nice to see so many devotees every year, but one thing that I'm also seeing is, except for a few core devotees, every time we are refilling the bucket with new devotees. So I wonder what happened to the others. No, of course, some of them are not able to come for legitimate reasons because they are occupied with some obligations or services. But personally, I know that some devotees have left the association. What happened? And that's very heartbreaking, isn't it? Maharaj used to say that we are not a society, international society for introducing people to Krishna consciousness. We want to retain people, we want to grow, we want to keep expanding. So sometimes I wonder, is it because the yes to Krishna that happened in the lives of different devotees, is because was it not deep enough, was it not holistic? Could that be a reason? I don't know the answer, but it's worth looking at it and say, okay, if that is indeed the reason, then maybe we should rethink how we ourselves approach Krishna consciousness and potentially also help others. You know, some of us, I know, we have the service of mentoring or coaching other devotees. So maybe something for us to think about. Right? And Guru Maharaj, always, I've seen him encourage many of his lectures. He always pushes us to ask the why question. Isn't it? Ask yourself, why are you doing what are you doing? Not only in the beginning of our Krishna consciousness when we took it up, constantly. Some of you may know Maharaj using the word reset, right? Hit the reset button, you know, and that's a great exercise to do on a constant basis. Asking the why question, hitting the reset button, saying, okay, I had different drivers in early years of my Krishna consciousness. Some of them were okay, some of them were not wholesome. I'm going to reset, I'm going to reposition myself. Look at Krishna consciousness in a different way. And we should have the courage to do it. There will be so many naysayers, there will be so many people who will say, you know, why are you bothering? What is this reset all about? Just go on. And sometimes it may even come from our very near and dear people in the family. But we should have the courage to do this. Then we can discover our voice. Maharaj uses the phrase, finding your voice, right? And the more we are able to do that, the more we can say holistic yes to Krishna. And I've heard this from so many other senior devotees, how in many, many cases, people go on in Krishna consciousness, even for 35, 40 years. Or the society is now 50 years old, right? 51. People go on, but may not necessarily be, the drivers may not be the right drivers. So, some questions for you. So I want to make this a little bit more interactive. So I'll throw out some questions. I look forward to some response from you. So can anyone think of a situation where you said yes to Krishna, say to a service opportunity, then you were not able to live up to that yes? Can anyone think of a situation? Yes, Prabhu. Gives me time to drink water.
Yes, Prabhu. The one of services, or of course, is of course chant attentively. I keep taking the vow, but having a challenge and regulating, like trying to sleep early and getting up in time, going in circles on that. So
you're saying you want to do it, but not able to live up to it,
right?
Thank you for sharing. I can empathize with you. Anyone else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Every time I come to Gita Nagari, I think that I should spend more time in classes rather than kitchen or around. But somehow or the other, I hardly attend classes. And continuous classes is not possible sometimes. That saying yes to Krishna part is there. Yes, I want to listen to the classes. I'm weak at Shastra. I have to improve by listening to senior devotees. And while doing that, there is something again, the around part, the second thing what you were saying, the containing vessel, is flowing. So those situations come
up. Okay, thank you for sharing. Now, it's not a bad thing for you to miss this class, but... so... anyone else? Prabhu? Yes. Oh, sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Two things. One is in regards to cleaning service that I do at the temple. I've not been able to, even though I've formally taken the service, but I've not been able to do it on a consistent basis. I want to improve, but as you said, I've said yes to the service, but not able to perform it to the required standards.
Okay.
And the second thing is for personal application, like after hearing on a regular basis, taking down certain points to apply in my life, I see that I apply maybe very few out of the list of points that I take down every day that, okay, I need to do certain things.
That's why I don't take down any points. No, makes sense. Thank you for sharing. Prabhu.
Thank you. I had a dilemma prior to coming here. A couple months ago, I had agreed to act in a film that one of my friends, he wrote a screenplay for and he was directing. And I agreed to do it. And when I was asked to come to Gita Nagari, I had forgotten all about that agreement that I had made.
Okay.
And I said yes to this. And he was pretty upset with me once he found out, and then I remembered. And I was just thinking, I was in a big quandary just thinking, what would Krishna want me to do? He'd probably much rather me not go to Gita Nagari and just do what I said I would do, even though the film is a very material thing, subject matter. It's not very auspicious at all.
But you gave your word.
I gave my word to do this thing. But I didn't go, and I came here, and it weighed very heavy on me. So, and that way I said yes, indirectly to Krishna, but.
Wow. What a nice example. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? So, you ready for the next question? So this is nice, at least 3-4 responses. So can anyone think of a situation where you said yes to please someone else, you know, in the heat of the moment? And then you couldn't fulfill your commitment. I know you're like, we do that all the time. What example do you want me to give? Not that yes.
It's a household example, Prabhu. My son asked me something when on the road when we're driving. Yes, mommy, tomorrow you make this. And I said, yes, yes, I'll get up early in the morning and make it for you. And I miss it. Because I was pressured with so many other things also. So I say for him, yes, I'll do it. But then I won't be doing it for him. So.
Makes sense. Thank you. It's a nice example. Anyone else? So you said yes to please someone. Yamunaji.
Hare Another household example. My poor wife now has to mow the lawn every week or so because she got fed up with asking me and I said, yes, I'll do it. I never got around to doing it. And she's now doing the mowing the lawn. So.
Okay. Thank you for... Anyone else? So you said yes to please someone in your life. Yes. But you couldn't fulfill that commitment.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. When our temple president and everybody went to Vaisheshika Prabhu's meeting about book distribution, I'm a little bit into book distribution, Prabhu, so. So, as soon as Madhupati Prabhu came, he gave an illustration about what he had heard there and everything. Read a page, become a sage page by page. I'm more into Bhagavad Gita, but Bhagavatam, hearing from my kids and my Prabhu only, not into much reading page by page. Mm-hmm. But as soon as Madhupati Prabhu explained, like, this is what happened, this is what happened, this is what happened. Oh, I distribute books now. I have to say yes for becoming a sage page by page. And seeing me, many other devotees might also raise their hands for that. I just immediately first member, I said, yes, I'll read every day Bhagavatam.
Thank you.
Few weeks, few months it continued, but again.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Yes. This must be another household joke. You're laughing. Where's your husband?
He's not here, so
I'm okay.
Yes, Prabhu. My husband wanted to move to a warmer place from Detroit. And, you know, I told yes, all the while. And, you know, I got ready to move in my mind, but in my heart, I was not able to.
Interesting.
And, you know, struggling with that.
Okay. Now, I was in a conversation with a couple of devotees yesterday. I won't reveal names. But I thought the way they responded to their parents' demand for them to come to relocate to India, I thought it was very nice. Because they basically told the father, you know, we would love to do it, but we have to focus on our kids' school, blah, blah, blah. You know, it wasn't like an impulsive, okay, we want to please you. You're our father. Here we come with the baggage, right? So I thought that was a very mature response. Good. Next question. So can anyone think of a situation when you said yes out of immaturity or out of imagination, and that yes caused great discomfort for your dependents, discomfort and pain? So this is getting a little bit more serious, isn't it? So out of either immaturity or imagination. So by imagination, I mean you're assuming that if I did this or if I said yes to Krishna in this circumstance, Krishna is going to be pleased, or Krishna's representative is going to be pleased by that yes. You're imagining, you're not necessarily, you know, even confirming that by talking, say, to your, to people who are guiding in your, you in your life or your spiritual master and so on. You're just imagining, okay, based on all the lectures that I've heard, this is what pleases them, so I'm going to do this, right? Any examples of that? Oh, Yamanajam. You're making Raghunandan Prabhu run today.
There was earlier in my Krishna consciousness, I had heard that, you know, one devotee would not eat breakfast until they chanted all their rounds. So here I was thinking, I can be Superman too. Why not? And I'm just going to not eat breakfast until I chant all my rounds. Well, I forgot that I was married. And, and that, you know, me doing that has an impact to my spouse and what she, you know, her schedule of cooking and
right.
you know, having breakfast together, whatever. So yeah, that I quickly stopped doing that.
That's a nice, simple example, but it drives home a key point.
Right.
Thank you. Anyone else? So once again, reading the question, you said yes out of immaturity or out of some imagination, this is going to please Guru and Krishna. And, but it ended up causing discomfort or pain to your dependents. Now earlier I talked about relocation, that's once again, if it is done from the right place, sure, but if it is done out of immaturity or because you're upset with the status quo, you're angry about your current neighbors, that's what is driving, then that usually has negative impact, right, on you and your dependents. So something for us to consider, what is driving us, driving our decisions? Any one more example on this question? Any response? I know all of you are thinking very hard. Yes.
Prabhu, this is like for the earlier question and this one, it's kind of mixed, I would say.
Okay.
It's to please somebody mm-hmm. and also out of my imagination that this is what would please Krishna and his representatives.
Yeah.
One devotee has requested me to cook for a devotee program
mm-hmm.
on a weekend. And I said yes immediately. Oh, thank you so much for giving me this service. But apparently weekend, 2 days are the only one we get. Because
and your husband was planning to go to a movie? Okay.
No.
Like, why did you volunteer?
He's a wonderful person. He has like nice regulation and all the household chores. We take care. So the whole schedule got messed up and kids were worried. We couldn't even like proper lunch arrangement for them because I had to ask for his help as well. Not only just my time. So everything got mixed up and end of it, I kind of was becoming, of course it was me who said yes, but I was kind of having a, I don't know, some kind of not pleasant feelings for the devotee who has asked that service.
Nice, very nice sharing, isn't it? Thank you. What could you have done differently if you were to do this again? How would you approach it?
I think first of all I would see for myself if it would be feasible, mm-hmm. how much time would it take.
Yeah.
And the other thing after that incident, we both spoke, my husband and myself, and then we discussed like if we have a proper schedule and we know, okay, this is the time, like regulation.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I know if there is any block of time, if I have available for that service. And probably express myself in a service mode like Mataji, I won't be able to because of this particular reason. Or I would do that, but I may need someone else's help.
Nice. Very nice. Thank you. Now, last question. Can anyone think of a situation where you said yes to Krishna or Krishna's representative due to pressure from another? Ramananda Prabhu is laughing, he knows. I wasn't looking at you. And you ended up blaming that very person and others, you know, forever. Any examples? Oh, awesome. Bahari Prabhu, I got more time actually. So lunch at 1:45 p.m., that's the bad news for you. The second bad news is I'll continue until then. So there's no good news here. Let's go on. So can you think of a situation where you said yes to Krishna due to pressure from another person and ended up blaming that person and others involved? Now it's interesting, you know, especially those of us who are, you know, doing the service of, say, mentoring or guiding devotees, It's interesting how we approach it, because externally we may come across, we want to try to come across as, you know, not putting too much pressure on our, you know, the devotees, you know, and so on and so forth. But then gently and forcefully we are persuading them to move in a certain direction, right? I know of an example, at least one example, where the mentor or the counselor put pressure, but seemingly in gentle ways, to make the devotees move or relocate, right? Why are you staying in that location? That's like hell. Maybe you should consider moving closer here so we can build a community here. Once again, be careful when such invitations come, even from well-meaning, well-intentioned guides. Because once again, if the decision comes from your side, it's better versus someone else making a decision for you. Because eventually you're going to blame that person. And that's not good, right? Especially in our Vaishnava etiquette. That's a serious issue. It becomes offensive and so on and so forth. But so often we end up following such encouragement or advice, right? And then regretting. So we have to be very careful. So any other examples from your side? Anyone? So think of a situation where you said yes due to pressure from another person. Come on, I'm sure there are examples here. Yeah. Am I the only one feeling pressure all the time? Okay, let's move on. Maybe the problem is here. Are you guys sure? Right. Okay. Good feedback. Yes. And the skit that we just saw was very instructive, isn't it? From that perspective. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So it's not really pressured per se, mm-hmm. but like in the corporate world, sometimes we say that if any project grows too big, too fast, it is usually bound to fail.
Right.
So similarly, when I was introduced to Krishna consciousness about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, maybe at that time we were very enthusiastic, or we saw the nice service of the devotees, and we tend to put few people on a very high pedestal in our thoughts. So, but that is just our mind. It is, that person may be acting normally, but we are thinking as if he has a very high standard.
Exactly.
And in those situations, it's not really a pressure or a blaming that person, but then after a certain period of time, you start feeling, maybe, you know, that pedestal is just a...
wasn't high anymore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So those kind of feelings do come, you know, if you try to grow too fast, too soon.
Right.
Just forcing yourself, essentially. Not really forced by someone else, but...
Yeah. Exactly. No, that's good point. Anyone else? No, so Krishnalila Mataji, I mentioned her name. She used to share with many of us that some of the pressures that we face, whether it's external or internal, much of that can come from our own system, family system or ancestors. So sometimes you may be reacting to a situation or responding to a circumstance because maybe that's how your father or mother would have reacted to it. And I thought that was really interesting. Right? So forces like that, you know, so it's, superficially it seems like you are saying yes, but then the drivers are something very, very subtle. So he made a good point about going too fast, and that always has its risk. Now, let's say Maharaj wants you to drive to the airport, you cannot tell him, Maharaj, can you slow down? I have to say a holistic yes. so don't take it in the wrong way. Sometimes you have to go fast, you know, because the devotional opportunity requires it. But the pre-work that we do, say when personality like Maharaj is not around, the pre-work that you do with our hearing and chanting, in building our psychophysical nature, that vessel, you remember that? Filling those holes. That will help when situations like that come, where there's like high pressure. You know, you're in New York Rath Yatra, and then Ramabhadra Prabhu comes and tells you, hey, can you just run to, you know, a shop and get a chariot wheel or something, right? The Rath is falling apart. You cannot say, Prabhu, I have to be holistic here. What are you talking about? Right? But if you're well grounded, if you're a person of integrity, if you've done that homework before you come to that Rath Yatra, you're probably ready to take on something like that. And it's interesting, if we see the life of Srila Prabhupada, and that's my first contemporary example. How did Prabhupada say yes to Krishna? You know, yes to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Was it an impulsive yes? Now, we were not there, so we don't know exactly how that interaction happened, but based on what we know, we can probably assume that to a good degree that Prabhupada was very thoughtful. He heard some instructions from his very first meeting with his guru. He didn't like jump up and say, oh, here I come, you know, can you initiate me tomorrow? You know, when is the book distribution starting? Let's jump. He was pretty considerate if you see his life. And it took many, many years before he even took the Jaladuta. Amazing example of holistic yes. So if you look at the three components that I talked about, was the yes from Srila Prabhupada his own? You bet it was. Was his spiritual yes ideally supported by his body, mind and intellect? And did he take into consideration the fact that he was a grihastha and the needs and spiritual evolution of his family? And when we look at, this is something that's interesting for me as well. When you look at the early years of ISKCON, right, there were like literally hundreds and thousands of devotees who came to Srila Prabhupada's shelter. So many brahmacharis, especially from the Western world. Sometimes I just wonder, where are they? What happened? We barely have probably tens and not even hundreds that are left that have continued to practice. So what happened? Now, once again, it could be very complex, and so we don't want to pretend that we know all the answers. But if it is likely that some of them, at least in the heat of the moment, said yes, I'm going to get into this, but then later found out, oh my God, I actually really wanted to do something else. Or, this is too much. My psychology cannot handle all these controversies and disagreements between devotees, the fights, the conflicts. This is too intense, so I'm going to check out. Which is fine, but so that vessel analogy, going back to that, so if our psychology is not there, if our psychological development is not up to being part of the devotee community and accepting all its glories but also all its shortcomings, we could face some challenges. right? One, we see a devotee and another devotee, they have arguments, and then we are wondering, okay, what is going on? This is, and we react to it in an impulsive way and say, this is terrible, I'm not going to be part of this, I'm going somewhere else. But if, on the other hand, if our psychology were well developed, we could say, okay, I see this, this is not pretty, not nice, this is not devotional. But just like Maharaj was saying in the morning, I'm observing the modes of nature. Or was it last night in response to one devotee's question? I'm observing the modes of nature, but from my side, this is how I'm going to conduct myself, right? So that's a very different approach. That's a very thoughtful mode of goodness approach versus mode of ignorance or passion approach. Does that make sense? So once again, so it's just very interesting that from when you look at the early years of ISKCON, what happened? Why did we lose so many devotees? And how do you prevent that from happening again? Something for all of us to consider, right? Just a couple of other examples from scriptures of holistic yes. Now, yesterday I was thinking about this. It's interesting. Most characters in our scriptures, they're usually pretty holistic. You know, there aren't too many examples of unholistic behavior from at least the devotees in scriptures. I'm not talking about a Duryodhan or a Kamsa among devotees, but one example that comes to mind where someone said yes to a gambling match and it caused great pain and discomfort to his dependents. Who was that? So was that a yes from the right place? The answer is complex. I don't know. And I don't want to judge Yudhishthir Maharaj here. But it seems like, at least from our perspective, there is a lesson to be learned there. We don't want to judge Yudhishthir Maharaj because Krishna was guiding his life and the entire Mahabharata. So who knows what was going on. But the lesson from that is very clear for us, conditioned souls, that if you say yes from the wrong place, you could really cause a lot of harm. And every time, I love reading Mahabharata or Ramayana, and every time you read that section, oh my God, it's like intense, it's heartbreaking. And I don't know how many of you have read the later portions where the entire Pandavas and Draupadi, so except Yudhishthir Maharaj, how they blamed him. Oh my goodness, it's intense what he took because of that action, the yes he said to that gambling match. But of course, Yudhishthir Maharaj's example is awesome. You know, even though he might have said yes from the wrong place, how he responded to all that criticism was glorious. He didn't just go and blast Bhima or Arjuna and, you know, keep quiet. I did the right thing. What do you know? Amazing example. Now, Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita is one glaring example of saying yes from the right place. Right? When did Arjuna say yes to Krishna? Was it in the first chapter? 18th chapter. Now, if I were Arjuna, I would have probably said, you know, right after Krishna said you were a fool, I would have said, Krishna, stop. I got it. Yes. I will fight for you. But what did Arjuna do? He took it in the right way. He knew that Krishna, you know, had the right intention. So he kept on asking questions. Why are you telling I'm a fool? Essentially, he didn't say it that way. It took a few chapters. So that's another very interesting example. The example of Arjuna Once again, in another fascinating pastime, and I love Maharaj talking about this. This is son of Drona punished, right? The story of Ashwatthama, after the heinous act that he commits, you know, killing the five sons of Draupadi when they're in their sleep. All of you know that pastime, right? Takes a, it's not even a knife, it's like a, what do you call it? Sword, yeah. Actually it's a sword. Chops off the heads of children who are sleeping on the bed. How did the Pandavas and Arjuna react to it? Who said what? So there were five characters, right? Draupadi, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Bhima, Krishna, and then Arjuna. They were deliberating what to do. And who said what? Who told Arjuna to spare Ashwatthama's life? And Yudhishthir Maharaj essentially supported Draupadi, right? Amazing characters. Who said kill him?
Bhima.
So Bhima we expected. But who, yeah.
Krishna.
Krishna said kill him. Did Arjuna say yes to Krishna immediately? What would have happened if he had said yes to Krishna immediately and chopped off Ashwatthama's head? He could have. Because he was imprisoned. What could that have done? He would have neglected the feelings and concerns of Draupadi. He would have neglected the wish of his dear brother who was to him like a, you know, the representative of Krishna in his life. So, very amazing. And even to push back on Bhima's request, you know, who would mess with Bhima? You know, if I were him, Bhima says kill, I'm like, okay, I don't want to get into trouble with you. But Arjuna deliberated and then came up with a very nice solution, right? So he didn't imagine, oh, Krishna wants me to kill, so that's the most pleasing. That was like pretty deep intelligence. Supreme Personality of Godhead is standing in front of you saying, do it. And you're deliberating and coming up with a very interesting solution which eventually Krishna likes. And that's where he wanted Arjuna to go anyways. But once again, very powerful examples. From our scripture, we can go on and on. You know, even in the Ramayana, there are so many other instances, you know, Bharat Maharaj listening to Lord Rama. It was so tough for him to say yes to Lord Rama, isn't it? In the forest, when Lord Rama said, I want you to go back and sit on the throne. It's like, how could I do it? But he didn't just say no. He wasn't willing, but eventually he said yes because it made sense what Lord Rama wanted him to do. His intelligence was awakened. He saw beyond his emotions what Lord Rama was trying to accomplish by asking Bharat to do, right? But once again, very tough yes to Krishna in that situation. Not easy at all. Who said an impulsive yes in Ramayana when Kaikeyi reminded about the boons? Dasarath. Did it cause pain and discomfort for his dependents? But it's interesting. Apparently he followed Dharma because he gave the word. It's so complex, the laws of Dharma. That's why Prabhupada said, our Bhagavatam says, Mahajana, ena gata supanta, right? It's really complex. How do you say which is right, which is wrong? But at least opportunities for us to take different lessons. I want to leave the last 10 minutes or so maybe for some discussions, questions. Oh, yes, Martha.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much. It was a wonderful class.
Thank
you.
As you
were describing Srila Prabhupada's example, I feel he sort of said yes in the beginning itself because there was a certain kind of faith in the heart.
Hmm.
And then for a holistic yes, maybe he would have taken time, the lifetime of preparation.
Right, so that's a very good example. I think maybe the way I heard it from Krishna Smaran Prabhu once in a class. How many of you know Krishna Smaran Prabhu? Okay, some of you don't. But the way he said it in one class, I remember very vividly that when you say yes to Krishna, it's not necessarily that you're acting on it right away. You're saying yes in consciousness. Right? And that manifests with time. So yeah, you're right. So Prabhupada didn't say no, or he wasn't reluctant or hesitant. So thank you for clarifying that. So he said yes in consciousness. It makes sense, you know, he's self-effulgent person in front of me in the form of Bhakti Siddhanta smashed me on all the points that I had, and he's like, okay, well, I have nothing to say no. But he deliberated and he was thoughtful in how he went about executing it. So that's where the holistic component came. And maybe that's the example that I think we should follow, where, say, when devotee is offering a service opportunities or asking us to work on something, we shouldn't be just for the sake of it say, no, I don't want to do it because it's not holistic, right? Because that defeats the purpose. Versus internally, at least, we say, actually, yes, I'm excited about this because that's what my life is meant for. But like you did in the case of accepting that service, so going through that process is important. Too often we eliminate that process, and that's where troubles come. Yeah. Thank you. Baihari Prabhu or any of the other senior devotees, you want to share some points? And anyone from the Mataji's side? Please correct me if I said anything wrong.
I guess I just wanted to share my appreciation for the thoughtfulness that you put in this discussion. And like I said, I really appreciate Gita Nagari because there's something that all of us can take back and put into effect in our lives to improve our devotional life. There's, of course, philosophy, and then there's application. And as practicing devotees, we know that there's a million mouths that differ, that separate the two. So thank you very much for helping us bridge that gap.
Thank you, Prabhu. Any other questions, comments? Raghunandan Prabhu?
One thought I had was, even at I would say that most of the times when we say holistic yes, we have thought through a situation and considered all the possibilities, dependence and so on and so forth. And still there might be unexpected developments that happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because of this
right.
decision.
Yeah.
And the situation might be very painful or hurtful or uncomfortable, but still I do not see a point there to point fingers at the other persons or the position, because it's not going to help in any way. Only thing that we can do at that point of time to see is how I can extricate myself from that unpleasant situation and move forward, and what I can learn from that.
Right. So the beauty of holistic yes is, you will be well prepared for such invariable eventualities. But the good thing is you will own it. And that's the beauty of it, right? And, you know, in one-on-one conversations that I've had with several ISKCON sannyasis, one thing that they shared was much of their time goes in fixing the mess, right? Niranjan Maharaj, I think Maharaj commented once, right? Cleaning the bottom, you know, like he said it that way. So we want to try to avoid that. We don't want to burden either Krishna or Krishna's representatives by saying yes to Krishna impulsively or not in a holistic way, because then many people have to own it, or they will, out of their compassion, they may want to help you. But I think those kind of situations prevent people from focusing on the key priority for the movement, which is we want to grow it. We don't want to just keep fixing things, right? So when we say holistic yes to Krishna, each one of us, we tend to own things, and that's awesome. And then the mentor or the guru is there to support you in your growth, not as a janitor, right? Which is a very different world. Makes sense? Thank you for sharing that. Any other questions or comments? Yes. We have about 5 minutes.
Hi Krishna Prabhu. You Hare said Krishna. That we should, even to authorities or mentors, we should always say a holistic yes. So saying, like considering a situation where one says yes, but one doesn't want to say yes, but one says yes because one knows that it's good for oneself. Is that holistic? Because one has thought through it, even though one doesn't say it from the heart.
It depends on what is preventing you from saying it, you know, saying a full yes. Like you mentioned that something may, you don't want to say yes. So what is it that's driving that? So it's good to pay attention to that. Now, I don't want to scare devotees, you know, and as I said, I gave some examples. When you're in a situation where some service opportunity comes, I'm not saying just pause and stare at, you know, the mentor or guru. But in some situations, you may say yes because in the heat of the moment. Thankfully, because we are in a devotional environment, it may not lead to necessarily harm all the time, right? Sometimes it may just be some discomfort or something like that. That may be okay. But ideally, I'm saying it's better to do the homework beforehand and to understand. So let's say next time you are in a similar situation and you continue to have those, why do I not want to go into this? Something is stopping me. What is going on? Right? So rather than ignoring that, especially I've heard this from Maharaj, when something is recurring, it's good to pay attention. And try to look at the drivers, take support from people who are experts and say, okay, maybe that's why I said I was hesitant. And sometimes it may be easy to solve those drivers. Sometimes it may take you years to address those. It depends. But then at least you know, okay, I have to focus on this in order to be better prepared to render devotional service. Does it make sense? Yeah? Thank you. Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. I was just trying to relate with Maharaj class and all the sessions happening.
Right.
Saying holistic yes to Krishna is something I'm understanding from the second point of view, like saying I'm yours, Krishna, and saying everything I'll do it for you instead of that. The second way is to eliminate the things one after the other slowly. Maharaj was saying in the first class yesterday, like mm-hmm. two ways of saying yes to Krishna. This holistic yes to Krishna, in my personal life, I am thinking through the second way, by eliminating one after the other, which is making me say internally no, but externally yes.
Right.
And then trying to adjust that way, it may be more helpful for the sadhakas. That's what I'm thinking.
When you say eliminating this,
yeah, even,
and that,
what even
are you?
In the devotional service, many times we consider that, yes, this is also a devotional service, this is also a devotional service, yes, I can do it, I can load myself up.
Right, right.
I should not say yes. Maybe mercy is coming, I'm not accepting. No, I should not say no, and then we accept the thing. And finally we think, we end up thinking that, no, I was better off, like whatever I was serving in the starting with limited things.
So
in the heat of like the second,
is there
topic,
is there a question or is that a
no,
comment?
It's just a
comment,
like share, Prabhuji.
Okay, okay.
We take like decisions instantly, as the second part we were discussing, in the heat of somebody's
right,
right,
yes, right.
And then not nothing to blame others, but in our,
yeah, in our own sphere,
only,
exactly.
In our own field,
we can easily, like you use the point loading, we can easily overload ourselves, and then we are getting stressed out. Health deteriorates, relationships go haywire, you know, kids start to see mom and dad are fighting all the time. We have like 100 services we have to catch up. So it leads to very stressful atmosphere at home as well. Personally, what I've seen is if the yes is holistic, typically that helps with those aspects as well. So this is a point we didn't discuss, but it's an important point. The impact of this on our children.
Yes,
and I think it's huge, because when they see us as parents saying yes from a holistic place, I think it's just awesome example for them. And they also learn to say, okay, I can also do that. And I can say no sometimes. I can, you know, I can think about it. So it's very valuable. Maybe sometime in the future we can talk about that, you know, holistic yes as a parent.
Yeah, and whatever the 3 points you said, everything will be considered when we
right.
take this into the...
Exactly, exactly. Okay, last question, 146. I don't want to get a note from Raghunandan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of coming out of a comfort zone, when we are receiving certain instructions or service from our mentors, who knows better than what we know of ourselves.
So why are you assuming that? No, I'm serious.
My experience has been like that, because
okay.
when I think of myself as I know myself better, I might go into the zone of maybe pride or being independent.
Okay.
So, I agree with you, Prabhu. I mean, this is not a generalized statement.
Sure. So you get where I'm coming from, right?
Yeah. So, when we are presented with some instruction or a service, which we have some doubts in, but we want to adhere to the instructions being given.
Right.
So when we say yes, there is some element of doubt inside, but we want to just say yes for the sake of maybe trying something, still trying to be sincere and follow.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a holistic yes?
As per the definition I gave, not necessarily, but is it a bad thing? Not necessarily. Because it depends on what lessons you are taking from that experience. As I said, I think to respond to a question here, sometimes we may say yes in the heat of the moment, or because we have some assumptions, right? This person knows better than me, or so, whatever it may be, right? May not be necessarily a bad thing. You end up with that service opportunity. But my guess is you'll learn a lot from that experience. And ideally you want to move towards this holistic position. You see my point? So I'm not saying holistic yes is not necessarily perfect. You know, even there you may have doubts. I don't think doubt is a constant companion until we become pure. Right? But at least you're, just like sadhana bhakti, we are practicing to do it better and better and better. Because as I said, if we say yes from a non-holistic perspective, you may have the desired results in terms of the service getting done or mentor or guru appreciating you and all that. That may come. But consider all the other points that I mentioned. So the implications of doing non-holistic yes and learning from, okay, how can I address those not so good results that came out of it, right? For example, you may be appreciated, but then your spouse and kids are upset with you at home. For example, and you're like, look, I have a medal, and you come home. What are you? Where were you? Right? Once again, it's not a bad thing, it's an opportunity for us to learn, okay, this part went well, there is some learning for me here because people who I'm responsible for, they are giving me some signals. And so next time, let me take that into account. So that's where that holistic part is coming. You see what I'm saying? So it's a continuum. It's not like from tomorrow you're going to be holistic and, right? Okay? Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.